You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 11, where we left off last time. That's a poem. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Everybody's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we only air live at 6 p.m. for the SoundCloud taping. And then when we go off the air, we pray fervently for the United States of America. And then, as the Holy Spirit decides whatever he wants, severally as he will, operating the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I pray for everybody who comes one by one. We have healings and we have miracles. We have words of prophecy, words of knowledge. To him be the glory. I myself do nothing the Father with any doeth the work. And we even pray for deliverance from drugs. So come on over. This is your party. Every Wednesday, 6 p.m. You're also invited to come here, every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, and SoundCloud taping. I'm in Sunshine, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Amazing Grace Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Bonita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Now, we have learned from our new friends all over the world, God bless you and hello, I love you, that the book of Hebrews is Almighty God taking his church to school. I mean, he starts us in kindergarten when we first get saved, and he takes us on through high school and graduates us from college. Why? So that when Jesus comes back at the seventh trump after the Antichrist, that we'll be that holy bride without spot and without blemish, a perfect bride for him. Therefore, from God's heart, to my heart, to your heart, you are the heir in God's will, parentheses, if. You are the heir, H-E-I-R, in God's will, parentheses, if. Now, before we begin, you want to refresh your mind that Hebrews 9, verses 1 through 10, God had told Moses to make a temple, a mosaic temple or tabernacle, or we saw a church in the wildwood in the wilderness. They had just come out of slavery in Egypt and were going through the wilderness toward the promised land. And God said, make it after the pattern in heaven. So, of course, they had to make it like a tent because they were marching. They had to pick it up and carry it with them. It was made of lambskin, and the mosaic temple, after the pattern in heaven, had three sections. First of all, there was the outer court. That was where the people went in to pray and to worship and to be taught God's word. Then there was a veil. And behind that first veil, there was called the inner court. That's where God's appointed high priest, and first of all, it was Moses' brother Aaron, would go in there. In there was a candlestick and the shewbread. That represented the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world, and his word is the bread of heaven. And then there was another veil, and in that third section was Almighty God's presence, the Ark of the Covenant. And there was a mercy seat on there, and once a year, the high priest would go in there and offer a substitute blood sacrifice, the blood of animals, for the sins of the people and for himself. And he had to do this once a year. So with that in mind, you are the heir in God's will. If. Verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle,
not made with hands. That is to say, not of this building.
But Jesus did it better. You remember that as soon as he had been crucified, his body was placed into a tomb. And on the first day of the week, the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb to anoint his body with oil, an anointment there for burial. But Jesus had arisen from the dead. She was looking for him. She heard his voice. She said, Mary, boy, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. If you don't know Jesus' voice, you might not be saved. She said, Rabboni. As she was going to hug him, he said, Mary, don't touch me. It's an Hebraism, and don't hold me up. I've not yet ascended to my Father. I've got to go up to heaven real fast, put my blood on the mercy seat, and I'll be right down. That is such a better covenant than the other. Those priests had to go in there every year and do that all over again. But Jesus' blood, once and for all, is on that mercy seat in heaven right now. And that blood is the only thing we ever need. And for all eternity, that blood will keep us all from sin. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The blood will never lose its power. Amen.
Yeah. Verse 12, neither by the blood of goats and cows.
Now remember, God had to have some kind of blood offering because it says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So they would take the substitute blood of animals and put it in there. But it was only temporary. They had to do it again next year.
Met by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
And that blood is what washes away your sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins.
Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer.
Wait a minute, the ashes of an heifer? We didn't know anything about that. Well, God used the ashes of a heifer. Actually, it's a red heifer. Now, in the wilderness there, they had to pick up that tent and the furniture and move it to the next location. So had to fold it. The Ark of the Covenant behind that second veil had to be moved also. That was delicate. If you touched it, you would die because God was on that. So the priest, the Levitical priesthood, would carry it on staves. They would put it in a little cart. We might call it a wagon. They would hook the little cart up to a red heifer. Okay, a female cow, red representing the blood. And away the little cow would go. And then they would unpack it. And even when some of them finally got to the promised land, they took the Ark of the Covenant with them into the promised land. For homework, I want you to read 1 Samuel chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 5. Well, what happened there? Some mean old people stole the Ark of the Covenant. They had no respect for God. They're called the Philistines. They were half Kenites, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, descendants of Cain, Cain being the child of the devil, that old serpent in the garden who beguiled Eve, and they were half Geber, or giant. Now remember back in Genesis 6, there were some fallen angels refused to be born from above, born of women, and they went in unto the beautiful daughters of Eth-Hadam and had children. They were called giants. That's what caused Noah's flood. He wiped out them, but there was a second influx of them. So the Philistines were the progeny of the fallen angels, Geber and half-devil's children. Boy, that's bad. So they stole the Ark of the Covenant. But guess what they did? When they took it to the Philistine land, they put it in their fake god's temple. Their god was called Dagon. I call him Doggone. He had a fish head and the body of a man. So they moved the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, God's presence is in that, into that temple, and they had little Dagon standing up there. They left it overnight. They went in there the next morning, the Philistines did. Dagon had fallen down before the ark, worshiping it. They picked up their little god and stood him up again. They left the Ark of the Covenant in there another night. They went back in there the next morning. Well, God said, I've had enough. Dagon's head was off, and his hands were broken. Don't mess with God. But you know what else God did? He put hemorrhoids on every one of the men of the Philistine. Hemorrhoids. God has a great sense of humor. In the book of Daniel, chapter 5, a mean old king, a heathen king, Belshazzar, had desecrated God's temple and was having a drunken orgy with God's vessels, and God took his finger and wrote on the wall, Hebrew, Meni, Tekel, Upharsin, interpreted, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. You know what Belshazzar did? His joints were loose. He went to the bathroom in his pants. I know another great leader, not a great good leader, a great bad leader. He lies, he says he's a great Catholic. He lies, he believes in abortion. He betrays the country. And he got to have a meeting with the Pope. And I know he was so scared because he knew he was a liar and everybody knew it. And guess what happened to him? His joints were loose too. Of course, you heard that in the news about Joe Biden. So see, God has a great sense of humor. So finally, the Philistines said, we better give this thing back to Israel. They didn't know what to do with it, but they remember that they had seen them roll the thing on a cart with a red heifer. So they put the little Ark of the Covenant in a cart, hooked it up to two red heifers, and they said, cows go home. You've heard when the cows go home? Those cows made a straight line for the camp of Israel and took that Ark of the Covenant home. That must be what Obama's pastor, Jeremiah Wright, when he said, America's chickens are come home to roost. The cows come home. So they got it back. 1 Samuel chapter 5, a good read. Read it.
Amen.
Sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh.
Now, what about the ashes of the red heifer? When that Ark of the Covenant got back to Israel, they wanted to offer a praise offering to God because they were so glad. The Ark of the Covenant, that was like the presence of God back. So they offered the blood of the two red heifers for a sacrifice, but then they sprinkled the ashes there, and God accepted that as a praise offering. It's always substitute for the blood of Jesus.
Verse 14, how much more should the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit,
through the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, resides in you. What are you doing down there, a victim?
Offer himself without spot.
Jesus had no sin, no spot, no blemish. The perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God.
To God, purge your dead conscience from dead works.
You're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. Only that blood of Jesus will wash away your sins.
To serve the living God.
Church, you are saved to serve. You're not saved to watch the show. I watch somebody else knock themselves out in prayer and fasting and teaching and winning souls. You are supposed to serve. What do you serve? A waitress serves food. You serve the bread of heaven. You serve Jesus to everybody you meet. That girlfriend, that boyfriend, that husband, that wife, that family, that friend, the next person that texts you, that's your mission field. And that's why he left you here. You're saved to serve. And if you're not serving, you're in big trouble. Check yourself out. If we judge ourselves, we won't have to be judged. Are you serving every day? There should not be one day of your life that goes by. Where can I share the gospel today? How can I enhance your kingdom today? Who can I tell about Jesus? Everybody you meet, your mission field. Are you serving? I hope you are. I pray you are.
Amen. Verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament.
When Jesus came and paid that sin debt, a testament is a will. So Jesus combined the Old Testament, the old will, with the New Testament, new will. They are just one book. We need them all. Because, see, Jesus is the tabernacle. And we know that in Revelation 21, it says, in the heaven on earth, God's going to bring the heaven of Jerusalem down here. And we're not going to need a temple because Father and Son are the tabernacle. So Jesus is that tabernacle. He is the candlestick. He is the shewbread. He's the word. And he is the blood sacrifice. So he welded that together. You're supposed to know the Old Testament and the New Testament. They are one book and they're all about Jesus.
Amen. That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise eternal in the heavens.
We were doomed to die. The wages of sin is death. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. But Jesus came and died in our stead. And now we have the promise of eternal life if we will confess, repent, believe, and endure to the end in Jesus.
Verse 16. For where a testament is, there must also be of necessity the death of the testator.
Okay, the testator is the person who writes the will and dies and leaves that will. Now, in the human form, people leave things in their will to people they love. And sometimes there are conditions, okay? Let's say a very rich man has a beautiful wife, but he's always wondered in his heart, did she marry me for my money? So he puts a condition in the will. He's got an if in there. He says, I leave all of my trillions of millions of dollars to my beautiful wife, but there's a condition. If she signs a paper before the judge in court that she will never marry again. Our father has accumulated all kind of land and property, and he leaves it all to his son. But he says, I will all of my property to my son. There's a condition. If he will never get this land out of our family, he can never sell it. So see, there's a condition. Now, everything in God's will, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, is yours if you are saved. For he says you are an heir of salvation. You're an heir, H-E-I-R, and a joint heir with Christ. But there are some conditions. All right. What is in God's will for you? There are 8 great things in God's will for you. Boy, are you rich. First of all, in God's will, Christian, you have everlasting life. It's in there, in the will, and you put your name on it. But you've got to do an if. You've got to do an if. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, and if thou shalt believe in thy heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, confess Jesus, thou shalt be saved. But of course, 1 John says you have to confess your sin, repent of your sins, and believe. And if you will do that, believe on the only begotten Son, you have everlasting life. So that's the first thing in the will, but you have to do the if. The second thing that God has left you in the will, the very second thing, is protection, God's secret service protection right here and right now. See, some of you are so scared all the time, but he left you his secret service protection in his will. Who are they? Angels, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister heirs of salvation. That's Hebrews chapter 1, Psalm 91. He gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You say, well, why did I get the accident? Because there's an if. What's the if? That is found also in the will in Psalm 103. It says there that angels do the commandments of God. What are the commandments of God? The Bible, the Word of God. And it says those angels that are there to help you only hearken to the voice of God. They will move on your behalf when you open your mouth and say the Word of God. In the name of Jesus, Father, it is written, you give your angels charge over me. They're right there. See, you have God's secret service. Are you beginning to understand why all you ever need to say is the Word of God in good times and bad times? The Word of God is everything. So they're there, but you got to say it. You got to say it. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. You give your angels ministering spirit, set forth to minister heirs of salvation. They bear me up in their hands. Thank you, Lord. The third thing in God's will for you is freedom restored. Now, every human being ever been, ever will be, all of you, all of us, were dead in trespasses and sin. We were in sin's prison. But of course, Jesus came. He's the truth. And the truth sets us free. So, if you're saved then, he's given you freedom restored. You were in captivity before you got saved. But he also restores freedom to a nation. In other words, a nation. Exodus chapter 19. A nation. Let's just take America. You are a peculiar treasure unto God. A kingdom of priests and holy people and holy nation. America, when founded, was free. The seed of Abraham, Manasseh, the pilgrims, broke off from Great Britain, Ephraim, because they wanted to worship God, freedom to worship. And they crossed the Atlantic Ocean, founded these United States of America. They put up an old rugged cross and dedicated this land to the Father and to the glory of his only begotten Son, Jesus. And their first schools were in church, and they had freedom. Freedom to worship God, freedom to bear arms to protect themselves, freedom to come and go as they please. Freedom, freedom, freedom.
Amen.
But it's been stolen. But America, the will is written there for you, all America. It's in God's will. If what? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people call by my name. That means you teenagers. You don't bother to come on Wednesday night. That means you. You're the one keeping us back. My people call by my name. Every Christian in America will humble yourselves and pray and seek my face and stop asking for stuff. My face, your video games and your television set and your dates are not more important than God. This is your country. My face, Jesus. And turn from your wicked ways. Repent of your lukewarm, half in the church, half in the world church, half in the church. God says, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins. I'll heal your land. Freedom restored. The fourth thing in God's will for you is money. I bet you say, I wonder when you were going to get to that, Sherry. I bet somebody say, hey, man, where's my money? Well, why does God leave you money in his will? Because in the human form, we need money or some equivalent of money to survive. So he left you money. You say, well, why don't I have more? Well, there's an if there. Remember? A condition to the will. It's in there. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the gold is God's. All the silver is God's. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He left that to you in your will, but what do you have to do? It's easy. Luke 6:38. Give. See, you trying to get. No, you got to give first. It's God's law of restitution. And it, what you give, shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give in your bosom. See, that's the if. There's another if. Where do you give? Malachi chapter 3. If you will bring all your tithes into the storehouse that they may be meet mine house, the word of God, 1/10 of every dollar, birthday gifts, little gifts in your envelope there, little gifts of any kind of money you earn or social security, anything you get, that's 1/10. But guess what? God says, I'll open you the windows of heaven. I'll pour you out a blessing. You'll have room enough to receive it. You know what Proverbs says the blessing is? The blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Look at that. Amen. And then he says, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. See, he says if you don't tithe, you're under curse. And the devil has a legal right before the throne of heaven to cause you, no matter how much money you make, to have something eat it up. And then he says, you're supposed to take an offering. The tithe, 1/10, on the first day of the week, add an offering, that's something extra. Guess what? 2 Corinthians 9, he says, I will multiply your seed sown. How much is he going to multiply it? 30 or 60 or 100? See, it's easy. And he left you money. I'm going to tell you something. I used to have a whole school full of homeless people, and I knew they were, had no money. But, and I was going to always give them some money. Laura knows that. I give them about $20 to get some food. So I would try to teach them this. I would say, before you ask for anything, I want you to give me a penny. They said, what? I only got 10 pennies, Sherry. I said, okay. I said, if you will give me one penny. So they pull that penny out. I said, now, that's your tithe. You only got 10 pennies? Now, how about giving me another penny for an offering? Oh, goodness, Sherry, I only have 8 pennies left. What am I going to do? So they gave me the second penny. Guess what I did? I gave them $20. See, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. There should never be one Christian in this world. As long as you've got 2 pennies in your pocket, you do not have to lack. You don't trust God with your money. I tell you, the thing that's going to be held up before the throne of God is your checkbook. Some of you say, I love God, I trust Him. But you are so afraid to tithe, so afraid to give. You don't trust God. You've never seen the blood. How do you know the blood is going to save you? See? It's called faith. The fifth thing you inherit is healing. When Jesus was about to go to the cross, they beat Jesus with 39 stripes. Boy, it was hard. Modern scientists have discovered that there are only 39 foundational diseases, that all other sicknesses and diseases stem from these 39. Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. Isaiah 53:5 says, with Jesus' stripes, we are healed. You say, well, that's great, but I'm not well. Well, there's an if then. First of all, you got to believe it. See, I just said that to you, and most of you are going to go to your medicine cabinet and take something and go call the doctor. Did you hear him? He said, with Jesus' stripes, you're healed. You got to believe it. That's why I'm alive. Overcoming COVID, cancer, anything. Nothing knocks me down until it's time for me to go home, because I know that with Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. Also, you got to do something else. James 5, verses 13 through 17. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. In other words, you need to go to church. You're commanded to go to church, okay? The elder is someone mature in God's word who's anointed. And the elder says, let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, olive oil, Eliyah, two names of God, represent the Holy Spirit, and the name of the Lord, the name of Jesus. And the prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if there be any sins, they be forgiven. That means sometimes the sickness is called by sin, and sometimes it's not. But just in case, then you can get that forgiven too. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So see, healing is in the will. Okay, you're supposed to be alive with your right mind until God calls you home, until Jesus comes home. Okay, the sixth thing in God's will for you is a position in the kingdom right now. Wow, little me, you say, I got a position? Yes, a position of priesthood. You say, me, I'm a priest? Yes, Revelation 1 says he's made you a king and a priest unto him. Uh-oh, there's a condition. A priest must be totally surrendered to the Lord. That doesn't mean you have to be like me, full-time ministry, but you would be full-time ministry. If you own a business, it would be full-time ministry. If you go to school, it would be full-time ministry. If you work on a job, a secretary, a waitress, drive a truck, full-time ministry. You tend a garden, full-time ministry, totally dedicated. So that's the first requirement. Are you? And then a priest prays without ceasing. Now you say, how can I do that? That means you would know the supernatural power of prayer. You would pray with the anointing of Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit will intercede for you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to Father's will, Romans 8:26. You pray by yourself in your home every day, no cats, no dogs, no cell phones, no telephones, by yourself, pray, pray, pray. But a real priest would never miss a prayer meeting, because that's your calling. And a real priest knows the power of the prayer of agreement. And a real priest shares the word of God. You tell everybody you meet the word of God. So look at there. You got a position right here, right now. You're a priest. If the seventh thing in God's will that you inherit is supernatural power, even though you're a human. How in the world do you get that? Jesus said in Acts 1, he had arisen from the dead, shown himself for 40 days that he had, was alive. He was about to go back to heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. He told the disciples, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, and ye shall receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Say supernatural power.
Supernatural power.
After. Say after.
After.
The Holy Spirit's come upon you.
The Holy Spirit's come upon you.
See, the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It is not you. It is Christ in you. Christ lives in you. And with that baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they had that in Acts chapter 2, that in the power and the name of Jesus, you raise the dead, you heal the sick, you cast out demons, you lay hands on the sick and they recover. And no matter what happens, you're blind or not, you carry on. Hallelujah. You overcome cancer. You overcome COVID. You overcome any kind of trouble. Supernatural power. Well, look at that. Amen. What inheritance? Just get the baptism. But you can't fake it. And you don't even try to fake it. Eighthly, your eighth inheritance is you inherit joyous adventure now and forevermore. God is such an adventurer. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it in the heart of man the things God's got prepared for those who love him. And that means right now, Jeremiah 11:29, I've got plans for you to give you hope in the future and to prosper you right here and now. I can tell you one thing. I made up my mind almost when I was a little girl. No matter what I do, I'm going to let it be an adventure. And it is an adventure. I don't mean the artwork things that come against me, but I make everything an adventure. Why? Because God is an adventure. He's exciting. He's fun. And everything is great.
Amen.
Revelation 22, in the heaven on earth, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nation. That is kind of a figure of speech. It takes a lot of study from the manuscripts. It means we're never gonna get bored. Wow, what a great thing God's left in the will.
Verse 17, for a testament is a force active after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth.
Now, Jesus left us all that, but he died. Now, human beings, when they die, they don't leave themselves anything in the will. Why? They're not here anymore. Hopefully they went to heaven and are just fine, or the other place, have mercy. But Jesus left himself something in the will. Remember, he kept telling the disciples, and they didn't understand it. He said, the Son of Man, speaking of himself, is going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill him. On 3 days and three nights, I'm going to rise from the dead. He left that to himself in the will. He spoke the word of God. The word has power. The word is life to those that find them. No wonder he arose from the dead. He left that in his will. And when they were pulling the kangaroo court on him, phony testimonies like the kangaroo court they're doing, President Donald John Trump, Liz Cheney, and all that bunch, lies, nobody on his side, just a bunch of lies there. They did this to Jesus. Jesus said, hereafter, you shall see me coming in the kingdom in all my glory. He prophesied. He left himself resurrection in the will. And God's not a man that he can lie, so he rose from the dead. It was in the will. And he's coming back the second time. Now you, all those eight things are yours if, and they're wonderful things, and they just bless your life. But you could tie all of those beautiful eight gifts he left you in the will with a pretty pink ribbon. And to make it even better, you could die. I do not mean die in the flesh. You could die to self. Die to self-will. Me, myself, and I. I'd rather do this on Wednesday night than pray. I'd rather, do this. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do that. No. Jesus said, Nevertheless, not my will, thy be done. And in John 5, he said, I came to do the will of my Father. If you will die to your self-will and do his will, your inheritance will be even greater. And you die to self-exaltation. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 12, he that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Make yourself the servant, Christian. What can I do? What does this person need? Everybody you meet, what does this person need? Is this person saved? Is this person lost? How can I help this person? How can I encourage this person? How can I warn this person? What can I do for the next person that I meet? That's humbling yourselves. And then, of course, you deny self-seeking. So a lot of you don't go to church because you got your business open. You know, the Bible says not to work on the Sabbath day. Did you know that? He didn't change the law. And you know, I owned a business. I know about this. You could on Wednesday night close it down. You see, you're not going to get all those blessings because Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You are the heir in God's will, if I pray you are blessed. Amen. Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm blessed, Miss Sherry. Thank you. Thank you.
It was a great
blessing. Thank you. Blessing. Yeah.
David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jesus paid it all. He's the way. Thank you, Scott. Great, yeah. Scott. Before I pray for healing, let's get everybody saved in the world. Anybody out there in cyberspace, you're not saved, pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Wash them all away with the precious blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And put me in the place you want me in your church.
And put me in the place that you want me in your church.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is my Lord.
Jesus is my Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now for those here in cyberspace, Romans says with the mouth confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone or many people. You may tell me in a moment. Scott, my announcer, is going to give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that number and leave a confession there, and I'll pray for you when I get the message, and welcome to the family of God. Now, at this time, I pray for healing. It is healing that I'm going to mention. I'm actually going to give God thanks for healing. We meet down here. I've been doing this for probably 20 years. Every Wednesday night, whoever would come and pray with me for America. And we've been praying about abortion. This week, God not only answered that prayer, but he also helped us to keep the Second Amendment right there to bear arms. We now can keep our weapons of mass destruction so people won't hurt us, our little guns and things. Thank you, Lord. That's an answer to prayer. Amen. No, don't you think that happened by chance. And Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Amen. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I give thanks for the healing of the little babies in women's wombs, God, who were condemned to die because of abortion. We thank you. You've healed them and saved their lives. And we give praise for that. And Father, we just ask that you will continue all throughout America and the world. That's a human being. We don't murder people. Let the baby live. You know, people, you could stop having sex out of wedlock. How about that? I realize sometimes someone rapes you, that does happen. That's a different thing. But abortion is taking human life. So we thank God that he's answered that prayer. That does show us, Father, that your hand is still stretched out toward America, because you've had two great things in the Constitution granted us again. Now, the Constitution is from the common law of England, from the Bible. So praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you for the healing of America. Let the healing go. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He shed his blood for you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. No greater love loveth this than a man lay down his life for his friend. We love you, Lord Jesus, our friend. You're the first. You're the fire. You're the friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. I love all of you, too. I'm looking forward to next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of the trumpet
of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
This is all that I can say right now. And
know it's not much, but this is all that I can give. Yeah, that's my everything. This is all that I can say right now, right now. No, it's not much, but this is all that I can give. Yeah, that's my everything. I didn't notice you were standing here. I didn't know that you hold me. I didn't notice you were crying too. I didn't know that that was you washing my feet. And this is all that I can say right now. Oh, I know it's not much. This is all that I can give. Yeah, that's my everything. This is all that I can say right now, right now. No, it's not much. But this is all that I can give. Yeah, that's my everything. This is all that I can say right now. Oh, no, it's not much, but this is all that I can give. Yeah, that's my everything. Yeah, that's my everything. Yeah, that's my everything.
simple. Writing you for help, no one else believed. I was buried, silent, lying in a trap, no one else could see. Then I called out, I called you. When you heard, you reached down, you found me. Grabbed my hand and picked me up, set me straight. You packed my bags and set me off, set me off, set me off, set me off. You know I am simple. Writing you for help, no one else believed. I was buried, silent, lying in a trap, no one else could see. Then I called out, I called you. When you heard, you reached out, you found me. Grabbed my hand and picked me up, set me straight. You packed my bags and set me off, set me off, set me off.
Listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
I can count a million times people asking me how I can praise you with all that I've gone through. The question just amazes me. Could circumstances possibly change who I forever am in you? Maybe since my life was changed, long before these rainy days, never really ever crossed my mind to turn my back on you, oh Lord, my only shelter from the storm. But instead, I draw closer through this time. So I pray, bring me joy, bring me
You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
When you are at the bottom, when your emotions have gone haywire, God has given you a gift.
Dr. Tony Evans says God's presence is most powerful when we have nowhere else to turn.
God is saying, now that you have nothing but me, you will discover, like never before, I am all you need.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Most people struggle when they have to move around without enough light. But today, Dr. Evans points out that even navigating life is tough when our emotions are in the shadows. Let's turn to Psalm 23 as he helps us understand how to end the battle between our feelings and our faith.
The 23rd Psalm, one of the most magnificent literary pieces that has ever been written. And yet its depth goes much beyond simply a great flow and great harmony. David